figure something out. Monastir up 36-23 over Asdwan.
U.S. Monastir 36 to Asdwanes 23, 13-point lead for the Tunisian side. This is Mukbil Yabro with my co-host Prince Nesta, and this is a special VOA production of the Basketball Africa League. The Tunisian side is looking really good, even while having some of their starters off at the moment. Prince?
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, who can argue with the slick passing, pinpoint shooting, you know, the offensive game plan, which basically starts with the Raji, and, you know, is super, super fantastic. You know, you can see the way, you know, he came in and, you know, the game changed all of a sudden, even the pace of the game, all of a sudden it was like a fluid attack. So the Senegalese team just can't compete, and, you know, they're struggling on the defensive end. And I think that's one area that they should look up to.
Right, and I believe he is back out again on the bench, so hopefully they're able to figure some things out while he's not on the floor, because when he gets back on, it's going to be a lot more trouble for them. Let's get back to the second quarter. They are out of the timeout. 36 U.S. Monastir, 23 Asdwanes. We will be back on at halftime. VOA special broadcast of the Basketball Africa League.
And anything can happen.
Anything most certainly can happen. Usher, thank you so much. We're back to the action, and it really is up to Asdwan. That's a lovely, lovely layup there from Diallo. Look at the height that he got. He knows that he's got to just get the ball really high to get away from those, from that defense that Monastir boast, because they're bragging about it at the moment, and they've taken a very good lead of 11 points.
Yeah, they have, and it's a great point that Usher brings up as the three ball goes down. Sliman, he's so good from that distance. We talked about it, 55% from beyond the arc. And he's deadly from that range. They've got a number of guys that are national team guys that are very comfortable with one another on this Monastir ball club.
Yeah, it's pretty much like an Afro-Basket gathering, isn't it, for these Tunisians. Fantastic mix, of course. There's a chance for three just outside of the perimeter, downtown. Missed attempt. And a chance. Oh, that is wonderful. Great skills there from Cockley. Needed to come to the fore and getting a bit of time on court now so that he can show us what he can do.
Yes, championship basketball. You've got to play aggressively. You're not going to stop me. I'm going to use this big body I have, and long body, I should say, and get to the basket and finish.
Sliman.
And a nice cut. That's what they do here. Monastir. They move without the ball. And one of the things, Robbie, you know, on this team, if you cut and cut hard, your teammate's going to find you.
Yeah, they can do it blindfolded, basically, can't they? It's just, it is sumptuous. On that occasion, of course, Majo unable to get the pass, but they still have possession. The one worrying element from coming from their Asdwan camp is basically Atia's got three fouls already, and that is not good so early on in the clash.
No, they need as many bodies as they can find for this Monastir team, because they have such depth. As Majuk gets fouled around the basket, and they're also dynamic. This lineup, to me, this is their most dangerous lineup that's on the floor right now. They literally, Robbie, have every base covered. They have maturity. They've got ball handling. They've got aggression. They've got passing. They've got defense here with Majuk and his ability to protect the rim. They have shooting and Sliman. They are just covered everywhere.
Yeah, and the bench is not bad either when you actually look at it.
No,
this is
Crawford's
great.
On the bench.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's
It's a statement, isn't it? It basically means that they're here and they are here for a business, big time. The Basque Africa League hotting up nicely as we enter this the final pair of matches, the final quarter-final battles that are taking place here to find out who will join Zamalek and Petro de Luanda in the semi-finals. Of course, they'll play each other tonight. We'll find out who will play each other. And the
Well, there you have Omar Abada with the ball. Passes it to Slimane. Slimane tries to find a solution there. Abada to the basket. And Slimane to Wael. Wael to the basket. And he's fouled. But the referee does not call it. Alkali goes down the ball. Diallo. And the referee calls for a walk there. For Esduan. Monastir lead 43-29.
U.S. Monastir 43, Esduan is 29. The What it seems like to me is that the Tunisian side is really, really putting it down for their first half. They're pretty much having any which way on what they want to do with the AS Douane side. Prince, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. They came here with a game plan, and of course, they're really executing it well. My goodness, their defense is impeccable. If you look at Majok, who's the destroyer-in-chief on the defensive end, you know, you might actually mistake him for LeBron James or Michael Jordan when it comes to the defense, because he's really, you know, stopped the attacks from the AS Douane side, and he's also, you know, providing depth as far as the offensive end is concerned, which is really fantastic. And, you know, the thing with US Monastir is that they have... They're really good in all departments, and they're really delivering in all departments. If you look at, you know, the way they're passing the ball, if you look at, you know, their pinpoint shooting, if you look at their ball handling abilities, goodness me, Wael Araghchi especially is just today, I think, is just on top of his game.
Yeah, you can't really say that the team is doing anything wrong at the moment. They're playing a very complete game with their bench play as well. But, you know, AS Douane is keeping it close. They are back at the moment. The game is 43, U.S. Monastir 32, AS Douane. We will be back on at halftime. I'm sure it will be an exciting minute left in the second quarter. We'll be back on at halftime.
By 13 points. Lance, are you here?
Yes, sir, I am here. And how about AS Douane? They had a chance to get it inside at 10. Gave up that easy layup as Diallo checked, heat check again with a three ball.
Well, just keep it away from the big man. Majok unable to get hold of that. Ndor takes it up. There's a couple of players, and they've got a good opportunity to try and get some points before the big man comes back and defends his territory. Chances are not good there, just rolling off the metal, but putting themselves in those dangerous positions. Camara unable to sink that one.
Yeah, they had numbers.
Here is Ben Wamdan out to Arakchi. He's got Abada. Abada drives in, gets the ball out to Majok for three! And that was a sensational score out wide, wasn't it? Perfection from the big man from South Sudan.
Well, it's kind of not fair when you got a big fella that can step away that far and knock down a three ball with such poise and comfort.
Yeah, and they get a. It's going to be a 4-point play, I believe. You can see that Majok with 13 points, three from four from distance. And of course, you can see that this is Ben Wamdan missing the first one. So, in fact, it's a 5-point play because there was a foul, of course. And an exceptional situation, of course, allowing US Monastir to push ahead as a quick darting run there. Once again, we can see that IS Duan trying to take advantage, trying to get some points, trying to be smart about it, but I think we've got a timeout that's been called. There's a big, big gap already, isn't it? And they really need to dig deep there, Lance, to get themselves back into this clash. A 14-point lead. It will be tricky for them.
Well, yeah, when you got Majok knocking down three balls, he's 0% from that range after shooting three so far in this league play. It is a tall task. I mean, but all you can do is take it minute by minute, not get too far ahead of yourself. And really, AS Duan, they haven't been awful offensively. It's the defense that's been a problem. They've tried to get it done with the zone, but they've allowed Monastir to pretty much get anything they want. And the reason I think it's difficult to guard them is because they pass the ball so well and they look for people who are cutting. They find open bodies, and then we've talked about the level of their personnel. Matter of fact, Robbie, some think that Ben Wamdan is the best player in Africa, which can be argued. And then they also have a great point guard in Abada. Some people think that he's one of the best. And then you heard me. I think Arakchi could play on an NBA roster. So the team, Monastir, is extremely good.
And their coach has just been with them since April. He's only going to be with them for the BAL, and then he'll be heading away. Look at that. That's just a brilliant attempt to try and score the points, but it comes to nothing. And as you can see, we have reached the half way stage of this battle here, but it's US Monastir who've romped to a 14-point lead, and that's going to be IS Duan's mountain to climb. As you said, it's like Mount Kilimanjaro. It's going to be a trek, but we've seen some remarkable comebacks. IS Saleh producing some wonderful basketball yesterday to reel in Petra Luanda. They eventually went on to lose, but it comes from the heart, and it comes from, you know, the technicians community. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back for the second half. 48-34, US Monastir controlling.
To 34, US Monastir is up on AS Duanes. This is Mukbil Yabaro, and I am here with my co-host Prince Nesta. We are also joined by, as I love to say, the legendary international sportscaster Sonny Young from the Sunny Side of Sports. Sonny, talk to me. How are you feeling about this game?
Sporty greetings, Mukbil. Sporty greetings, Prince. And sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. You know, the player who I thought really stepped up for Monastir in that first half, Mukbil and Prince, from South Sudan, Majok. I think he's mainly a defensive presence for Monastir, but he scored some points. 13 points in the first half, five rebounds. He blocked a shot early in the game. And I don't think they really rely on him for scoring, but he came through for them in the first half. And I know we were sort of texting with each other, Muckville and Prince. I actually thought he looks taller out there, I think, because of his slender physique. But, yeah, let's give a shout-out to Majok from South Sudan. Nice first half.
Absolutely, and I totally agree. And wow, what a performance, by the way. And this is actually coming off of an interview that, you know, Liz Mills, and I think this played on the sunny side of sports. The Kenyan basketball coach, Liz Mills, was actually asked about her verdict on basically what team has a chance to win this tournament. And, you know, she was very, very categorical that the USM, you know, Monastir team, Tunisia, which is basically a national team, guys. This is a national team with a few imports. Very, very experienced players, McLean, Ben Romdan, and, you know, Morad El Mabrouk have been in this team for years. And, you know, Omar Abada, who's bringing in young energy, and, of course, Wael Araghchi. And so you can see, like, this sort of fusion, synergy, like they have been together for sort of a long time, and it's actually coming out in this particular game. It's a dangerous team, a team to watch. Honestly, I also think, you know, the S1 side has also put in, like, their best efforts. You know, it's just that things are not working on them offensively and defensively at the same time. But, you know, Piku, I have seen a lot of, you know, input from I've seen a lot of input, especially from Lamine Diop. They are really trying to come out with something. But, you know, you'll never know. Maybe in the second half they're going to catch up.
Yeah, I definitely second that. I feel like this U.S. Monastir team is a team that really hasn't shown us any weaknesses. They are also very well coached, as we were chatting about earlier. I feel as though, you know, the Tunisian coach knows that Wael Araghchi is one of the most watched players in the tournament, hence why AS Douanes may have prepped for him, and he kept him on the bench for a lot longer than expected. I really feel as though when he got in the game in the second quarter, it really opens up the game for the team. You know, when he's not playing on the court, you see players like Makram and Slimani having to actually facilitate and get other players involved. When he's on the court, they are the ones who actually end up getting the ball because they just move into space. That's the thing that he's really good at. Just, you know, although he only has 6 points, you'd never know it from the amount of like what he adds to the team just from tempo and pace. But AS Douanes side also is they're playing a really good game. You know, one could say if they weren't playing against U.S. Monastir that they potentially would be up, because they're playing a very good collective game. You can't really pinpoint to one thing as to what they're doing wrong. You know, they're still within reach. You know, 14 points is not as bad as it could be with this Monastir side. So I say they come into the third quarter, you know, with their heads held up high and continue with the pace and energy that they're playing in, and, you know, just get some defensive stops and go on a slight run, and I think they'll be all right.
Michael, I agree. Douanes is kind of hanging in there, and they're definitely not out of this game, but, you know, getting back to Araghchi, what a playmaker for Monastir. But I was thinking about Araghchi when I was watching him compared to a player like Stoglin for AS Salé. And I think it's safe to say Stoglin is a shoot-first, pass-later player, whereas with Araghchi, he always seems to be looking to get his teammates involved. In other words, pass-first, and then shoot if the opportunity presents itself. But all of the Monastir players, they just have a very collective attitude about passing the ball, mm-hmm. and it serves them very well.
Right, right.
I totally agree with you, although, you know, I beg to disagree at the same time. I think, you know, if you look at the Stoglin situation, he knows very well that, you know, he's like the only one in the team. So it's either, you know, he scores or nobody else is going to score. We saw that happen yesterday where the team struggled, but Soglin was on top of his game. But look at, you know, the Tunisian team. Even if while Aradji is out, you know, there's going to be Slimani, there's going to be Ramdan, there's going to be Mabrouk, Abada. You know, there are a couple of names to mention and stuff like that. And so you find, like, you know, it's so easy to pass the ball. But in the Stoglin situation, it's just like he's a one-man team. You know, he has to dominate. Otherwise, you know, they're going to have, like, 20 points, you know. But that's just my opinion. But yeah. Maybe, what do you think, Mutlio?
Prince, let me jump in right quick. The thing about it is, right, they're two completely different players. So even if Stoglin wants to play a pass first, I think it's just that his style of play is just, he's a score-first guard, so he's looking to score first instead of looking to find pockets with players. Now, the thing about it is, when you look at this U.S. Monastir team, when Aradji was not playing, they were still swinging the ball around, but the deficit of the AS Douanes side was really close. It wasn't even double digits. It wasn't until he came on that they were able to get a 10-point lead because of his tempo and him allowing to open up the game. What he does is he drives with the intent to look like he's going to go for the bucket, and then they collapse on him and he kicks it out. Stoglin has the ability to do the same. It's just that maybe he doesn't trust his teammates to score, whereas Aradji trusts his teammates and they are knocking the shots down.
I agree. That's a good point, Muckville. They are two totally different players. Another guard kind of trending, but I think he's left Kigali. Muckville and Prince, J. Cole would love to hear your thoughts on what he meant to this inaugural Basketball Africa League tournament. Your thoughts, Muckville?
I think it was really, really amazing for the continent and the Basketball Africa League to have such a spotlight on them by having a player of the magnitude of J. Cole, right? The Patriots side, the host nation, had him for the group stages. And I think they, you know, it was like a mutual benefit. He got his, you know, international attention to the league, and he was also able to knock something off of his bucket list, which was to play professional basketball at a high level. So I think it served its purpose. There may be other players or other individuals who feel as though it was like that there should have been other players that could have took his position, you know, and that he only got his position because of the fact that he is an international artist, but I personally feel like if J. Cole was not present in this league, we would not have the level of hype behind it. So I think it served its purpose well. I applaud the host nation team, the Patriots, for making the move and getting the eyes not only on the league, but on the on Rwanda, on Kigali, you know, as a city. So I really like it. What are your thoughts, Prince?
I totally agree with you. And I also think J. Cole is a testament that you can do anything that you want to do. You can fulfill your dreams no matter who you are. We've always known, and you know, in a lot of interviews, he's always been like he wanted to play basketball at some point. And, you know, at this tournament actually gave him the chance. And I was actually talking to Ivy Awino, a.k.a. Poison, DJ Poison Ivy, who's basically a DJ. He's actually at the Kigali Arena. He's going to be DJing in the next match coming up, you know, between Ferro de Maputo against home team, the Patriots. And so, and she's also the Dallas Mavericks official DJ. And basically what she was saying is that, you know, she was first of all agreeing with you, Mukbil, in the sense that, you know, J. Cole actually brought a lot of hype as far as this tournament is concerned. And what she really said that left an impact to me was, you can be anything that you want to be. Just, you know, sacrifice, you know, pray, and of course put in the hard work. J. Cole is a testament. And, you know, in terms of even influence that he's left in the African continent, Jackson Mvunganyi, who's a host of Upfront, you know, show, he was actually telling me that Rwanda You know, when these people didn't even know J. Cole that much and his music. Mm-hmm. Right now, they are familiar. I'm sure he's a popular name in Rwanda.
Right.
And, of course, even the African continent right now, as far as his music is concerned. And also, having such a multi-platinum artist, African-American, coming to Africa to fulfill his dream, to me, I think that even fosters relationships between the United States, African-Americans, and, of course, Africans back in the continent.
Prince,